Well, good morning. I am so glad to be here today. If you haven't noticed, that lady up there that is like 12 months pregnant right now is my wife, and that was her last week leading worship for the season that we're in right now. Once she has the baby, Liz will be leading and helping lead our team, which I'm so excited about. We have an amazing team of worshipers. That's what we look for first, are people who worship God. And then we are so glad that they'll join the worship team to lead you in worship, and that's what they're here for. And so I'm excited about that. I love all the different seasons. I love transitions. I love change. I like to see things moving and moving the needle. Right now, if you saw that video up there, we are looking for small group leaders. The way we do small groups around here, if you've been here for at least a year or so, we do them in seasons. We don't do them all the time. So we're launching a new season of small groups. And usually people love the summer small groups the best because we do a lot of fun things. We're going to have a disc golf. Need a total of 20 people to help lead. We would love you to consider it. And I'll always say this, leading a small group is easier than you think. And so you can do what is already happening in your life to be a small group leader. We would love to have you. So today I'm going to be talking about love, which I've been talking about that a lot lately. And it's really important that we understand all aspects of love and where love comes from. And the question that I came up with today, because I think it's honestly easier to start a message with a question and try to answer that question, why can't I love people? And I think that's a question that probably goes through a lot of our minds sometimes. And a lot of us may struggle with that from time to time. Whether it's driving down the road and the person does something to you or you do something to them, why can't I love that person that cut me off in traffic? Which we don't have a ton of traffic around here, but people still drive annoyingly. And you know what I've done since I moved here? I just drive the speed limit and I live my own life and I just kind of cruise along because I don't need to worry about everybody else. So that's what I've done to try to help with it. But the question is, why can't I love people? And so I want to first start off with a question, not a question, but a quote that many of you have heard probably, but listen to this and really hear it. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. You've heard that before. The people you're hanging out with today are shaping the person that you will become tomorrow. And this struck me, and a lot of people find this out different times in their life. I can remember when I was in sixth grade and my youth pastor was talking about this all the time. Make sure you pick your friends closely. And so the problem with that, especially when you're in sixth grade, is, well, I want my friends to be Christians too. I want them to come to church. I want them, you know, I'm not going to push them aside. Until one day, for me, I remember this very clearly. I was getting into all kinds of trouble. We were, you know, we would go out to dinner and stuff with friends, and I'm not even going to go to the details, but we were terrible, terrible. And then one day, we were so terrible that I ended up in a police station when I was 12 or 13 years old. And many of you are like, what? How'd you become a pastor? Well, I am not a good person. Jesus made me a pastor. Now, I ended up in a police station, and I can remember that day, and I was just freaking out. If you've been in a police station your first time or whatever, you know what it's like. It's like, oh my goodness. And then I ended up in a probationary officer's office, and that was just as bad. And I was blessed by God to be able to get out of that situation, and that was the moment in my life that I just changed everything. I was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm changing everything, and I'm kind of a rule follower because of that. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. But what God wants to do in your life is help you find new friends, and that was the day that I decided I need new friends. Now, did I completely remove the other friends from my life? I still talked with them, but they weren't the people that were coming over to my house. They weren't the people I was going to their house anymore, and that was about it. I would talk to them at school, and that was it. But God wants to do something in your life. Now, the closeness that I had with my seventh grade friends produced destruction. And there are some of you who are here today that you have relationships with people that are producing destruction or something other than what God wants to produce in your life. What I want to talk about today is closeness with God produces love. closeness with God produces love. And this is one of the most sticking points in people's lives with the church. My thing is, I believe that when we are close to God, then love is what's coming out of us. We aren't just letting things happen and being mean and all this stuff. We should be changed from the inside out when we are close to God. So for me, it's a trigger in my mind at this point that when love is not coming out of my mouth, out of my mind, I now know, okay, where's my relationship at with God right now? And I just have to be real with myself. I have to say to myself, where am I with God? Because what just came out of my mouth, that was not love. But I want to say closeness with God produces love. So when we have a personal relationship with God, our lives will naturally produce what it is that God has for you. It will naturally produce that. Just like when we have friends, people that we hang around, it will produce what they are like, whatever they are doing, the things they say, right? That's what will be produced out of your life. So I want to hop into 1 John 4:7 through 10, and it's going to be on the screen for you. It says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other." And then look at this, "since love comes from God." It's the connection there. "Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God." So it's saying, if you have God, then you are producing love. You have love. You understand love. So you, because God is love, this is the definition of love. It is God. It is what he does. So whatever you see in the Bible that he does, it is love. And that's the lens that we have to see it through. So you can't know him if you don't know love. You have got to be able to see what he has, what he wants, what he does, so that we can produce what he produces. This is how God showed his love for us. So if God is love, what he did is love. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. So last week we talked about this love being activated. This is activated love. God sending his son to planet Earth to live as a human being. God is this infinite being in wherever, you know, you can't even picture what heaven's like until you're there. But he's out here and he could just live this cush life. He could have this amazing, you know, he doesn't have to do any of this stuff. He only created us because he wants a family to love and be and experience with. And so he's saying, I'm going to limit myself and enter into a human baby, extremely limited, right? Like you just can't even move. You're just laying there. We're about to have a baby. And I love that period of life because they do just lay there. Like, because now I have a 2.5-year-old that's everywhere. And she does like to be here, so that's good. I like that. But he comes into the planet Earth as a baby and raises up as a child. And then we see this amazing ministry that he does at ages 30 through 33. And then what do? The greatest human who ever has lived in planet Earth's history, we kill him in his 30s. This is what he did. So if God is love, what he did is love. He's giving us his active love. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God. So many of us here, we used to love God. We're trying to come back to him now. But that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins. Whatever it is that's holding you back today, whatever it is that you feel, that you experience, that you have in your heart that's pulling you away from him, this is what he did. He came as a sacrifice to clear that away. Whoever is bothering you right now, whatever is happening, he came to clear that away from you, our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. He wants to come into a correct, beautiful, loving relationship with you. And this is what he did so that you could have that. So let me say it again. Closeness with God produces love. Closeness with God produces love. We have to have closeness with him if we want to produce what he does. 1 John 4:11 through 12 says, "My dear, dear friends," not just one dear, two dears. I love that. "If God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another." So there's this idea that, well, if God loves us and we're in a relationship with God, then, well, duh, we should love each other. So this is a huge part of this. And a lot of people, and I hate this, we've been hurt by churches. And honestly, I have too. I've been hurt by church leaders and church people. And I hate it because once people get hurt by a church, sometimes they're like, well, I can just have a relationship with God by myself. But it's just not backed by scripture. It's not in the Bible. We have to have a relationship with each other. And I'm telling you, having relationship with people is the messiest, it's the most difficult part of life sometimes, but it is also the most rewarding, most beautiful thing in life. Because when we fight through the difficult times, we have beautiful relationships that what? They lead us back to God. Because when we try to do faith on our own, and even with your family, it's hard. It's a different relationship. It's hard to have exactly what God is wanting when he's trying to point, he wants us to have a relationship with other people to point us back to God when we're struggling and having difficult times. So this is what it's saying. We certainly ought to love one another. If God loves me this much to send his son, be killed by us, if he loves us that much, then we should be able to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, so if you have God in your life, you love one another, God dwells deeply inside of you. So a lot of you have heard this. You are a temple of God. God lives inside of you. If you are a Christian, if you believe, if you surrendered your life to him, so then that love that he has will come out of you. And you're like, man, I just don't see this from Christians. And I'm not calling out anybody specifically, but I believe with all my heart, and this is one of my passions, I believe that there are a lot of churched people who come to church, are dedicated to church, but I don't think we all have closeness with God. I don't think we have it figured out. I don't think we have it figured out. I think we want to do things for God, but we don't have a closeness with God. Do I feel like I'm close to him? I want to be closer. I want to be closer to him. We have to have closeness with God, and we're going to talk about a few tools that we can find to be able to develop that closeness with God, because really, other people's lives depend on our closeness with God. If we want to be able to help people who are desperate for Jesus, we have to know Jesus. Otherwise, we're using his name and we're throwing him around and we're just saying Jesus, but we're not actually portraying Jesus. We have to know Jesus. His love becomes complete in us, perfect love. Closeness with God produces love. 1 John 4:13 through 16 says, "This is how we know we're living steadily." I love it when it's very clear, because I'm not the smartest person. Like, if there was like a pass or fail on the SAT, I would have failed it. I went to Bible college, which there's smart professors, but it's not hard to get into Bible college. I love it when it says stuff like this. "This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him." Okay, I'm reading what's after that, right? So listen in. "And he in us, he's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his son as savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God," so this is it, "if you confess that Jesus is God's son and participates continuously in an intimate relationship with him, we know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God will use you as an instrument of his love when you are deeply in a relationship with him." When you have that deep relationship with him. So what is deep? In my opinion, it's just deeper than what I already am. There's no, hey, this person has succeeded. You know, this person is deep. No, it's not there. It's whatever is deeper than what I already am. I want to have a hunger for him that is stronger than the hunger that I already have. So then I hop into Galatians 5, 16 and 17 here. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So we all come out, even when they're cute and cuddly and all this stuff, we come out with what's called a sinful nature. And sometimes it comes out. My little girl, she smiles most of the time, but that little sinful nature comes out. You see it. You have it. Every little child has it. The sinful nature wants to do evil, and I got some pictures of it, man, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Your nature, what you come out with, wants to do evil. So that's your definition. That's what you do naturally. But when we have the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of the sinful nature desires. So there is a clear difference. It's called a life transformation. Jesus calls it a rebirth. When we surrender our life to Him and we confess to Jesus that you are everything, there is a complete transformation and a rebirth is what He called it. People in the Bible were confused by it. But we are born again and we are changed, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Does that still come up sometimes? Yes, it still comes up. But guess what? You can fight it. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. They're constantly fighting each other, these two forces. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So closeness with God produces love. And I want to go further in this Galatians couple of verses here. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So if you're a tree, this is the fruit that you produce. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are good things. Those are the things I want for my life. And I know that when I was a younger Christian, I know I'm 35, some of you are like, that's really old. Some of you are like, that's really young. But when I was a younger Christian, I thought, man, I just have to write these down and write out ideas and things that I can do that will make me better at it, and I can just white knuckle that and become better at it. That's not what it's saying. It's saying when you have closeness with God, it will produce these things. Guys, the key to all of this is closeness and intimacy with God. There's nothing else to it. We have to carve out time in our lives. And really the difficult part is how busy we make our lives sometimes and how much of a struggle it is to find time to spend time with Him. That is the life that we live. It's the 21st century American culture. There are many, many things I love about this culture and this country. But this is the struggle for our relationship with God, is we don't give ourselves the time to spend with God. And the margin has to be there. I can remember right out of college, I felt like I had a lot to prove in life. I was, like, random things, I was just going so fast. I would take a one-minute shower because I was like, there's no time to waste. Like, I got to get in and get out. Let's go. I would give myself just enough time to get to work. If it was a 20-minute drive, I gave myself 20 minutes. And I know many of us are doing that because I see you driving around on the road cussing and yelling and all that stuff. Not you guys. You guys are perfect. I was talking about the other church. And I would do that. And there's no margin in that. So then there's no peace. There's no patience. There's no kindness. You're just not going to feel it. And there are times, I mean, I've got I'm about 2.5 kids. I got another one on the way here. This is not, we're not perfect at this. But I'm telling you, we have to create margin in our lives to be able to do these things and have these things in our life. And that's where God wants to move in our, that's a practical thing. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross. So if you have a passion or a desire that is from the old you, spiritually speaking, once you receive Jesus into your life, you have spiritually nailed that to the cross. Now, we have this here for this reason. Sometimes when we do something physical where we can see it, like put a piece of paper on the cross, it helps trigger that in your mind a little bit better, and you're able to do that. So we have nailed our sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I had this come up the other day. I was driving. I had a long trip I was going on, and I had a sinful desire come up. It was just random, and it was because I was driving. And so I just thought to myself, because I had been studying this passage, I was like, I need to practice this, right? I'm the pastor. I should practice this. So I literally just sat there while I was driving, and I kept my eyes open. You can actually keep your eyes open when you pray. Just want to give you that. Just a little tidbit there. And I was talking to God. I did have a hat on, too, just so you know, just like full confession here. Just kidding. I was praying, and I spoke to God, and I was like, God, I need to give this to you. And I'm telling you, it's not always picture perfect. It's not always easy. But in that moment, I felt that desire go away. And I felt it leave me. And I believe it's because it's already been taken away from me. But I just have to fight it. And sometimes it's a little bit harder to fight that sin nature, that sin desire. But I'm telling you, it starts with talking with him and giving him what it is that you're struggling with. And he wants you to have that relationship with him. And he wants you to talk to him about that. I want to tell you, closeness with God produces love. If God is love and we are his temple, if he lives inside of us, then we will know that he is in us when we are exemplifying his love. God is love. When we are showing love, then we know he's firing on all cylinders inside of our life in that moment. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hopefully hope in your life to know, well, I may be struggling with this, the anger. And it could be attitudes of just suppressing your feelings and holding them inside. That's not love. Whatever it is that you're struggling with right now, my hope is that you would desire a closeness with God that would help you with that struggle and help you with whatever it is that's going on. Now, will a closeness with God erase all of the pain, all the struggles? Will we be floating on clouds through our life the rest of our life? No. But I'm telling you, he will give you the strength and the desire and the ability to fight against the pain and the struggles and allow yourself to feel those things too, because he wants to know, he wants to hear from you about the pain that you're going through and the struggles that you have. But again, I'll say this one more time. You have to have margin and time in your life to be able to talk to him about those things that are happening in your life. If you're going from one place to another and going fast, fast, fast all the time, if you're taking one-minute showers and only giving yourself 20 minutes to drive a 22-minute drive, you're going to have a hard time talking with him about those things. So how do we know him better? All successful relationships start out fun, right? Like, if you've had a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a husband or wife, they start out fun. And if they don't, well, I don't know. They should. They start out fun, exciting. We went to a chick flick last night. I love rom-coms. They're kind of making their push back, if you haven't noticed. They're so good. I don't care what you say. I love Hallmark movies. Get out of here if you don't. Stay. I'm kidding. They start out fun, but we have to create habits, right, to enhance those relationships. We have to create habits in our life to continue those relationships and keep that fun spark there. We have to do that. Otherwise, we won't. So how do I develop my relationship with God, myself, and other people? I have a few points here. If you have your connection card, I actually would like to help you if you need help in any of these areas. So if you have your connection card with you, you can write your name on it. And in the comment section, you can write one of these numbers if you need help finding a path. And some of the things I'm sharing with you will be helpful. There may be others that could help also. So the first one, number one, is develop your closeness with God. So this is the point of this entire message, right? So this is where I'm going to be landing most of my points here. So we believe that knowing God is the most important part of church or life. If we don't know God, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. There's a churchy word called sanctification. It's to be set apart. That's what that word means. Or to have a growing relationship with Jesus. That is what we need. And what are some of the things that can help us in enhancing our relationship with God? And you're going to love this one because it's the most pastory thing you could say, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You'll never know how much we love you as pastors. You'll never know. It's like if you're a parent, your kids will never know how much you love them, right? I love you enough to tell you this, that attending church services is one of the most important parts of growing your faith in God. It just is. Being with people, worshiping God in person with people, if you're able to, doing this habit in your life is so important, and many of you have made it a habit in your life, but I would love to lovingly encourage those of you who don't to make it a habit in your life to grow in your faith with Jesus. The second one I want to share is something I've been practicing for a little while. It's called the first 15. Now, some of you are like, it's 15 minutes. If 15 minutes is too much, then you can shrink it down. Start where you are. But it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes of reading your Bible. 5 minutes of reading your Bible. 5 minutes of praying. I don't know why I'm doing this, but whatever. And then 5 minutes of worshiping God. And we have several tools that we can give to you. Write number two down write number one down if you need help in that area. We can help you. There's so many tools out there that you could be helped with. These are the first two that I believe that will help us build habits in our life. Just like having margin in your life, building time to be able to drive, we need to build habits in our life to grow our closeness with God. If you've kind of got those two down, if you're kind of like, well, thanks, Pastor. I've been here for 45 years, and I read my Bible for 4 hours a day, and I pray for 7 hours a day. Okay, that's cool. We're not flexing. Let's keep going. There are some other things. Practicing a Sabbath rest. Practicing Sabbath rest is huge. Having a day or half a day, if you can't get a day, of resting in God. And I'm telling you, if you're a productive person, and I'm afraid to say that, but I feel like I kind of am. It's extremely difficult because you're saying to God that I trust you with my time. I trust you that what I can't get done on this day, that you're going to take care of it. And I'm telling you, it sounds really weird to come up in a message like this, but I promise you that if you practice that, and if it's too much, start with a half a day, allow him to work in that, and you will be shocked. And then those of you who need a little bit more, fasting. If you want to develop your closeness with God, fasting food, if you're able to. If you're not able to, you can work on something else. But if you can fast food, not fast food, fast food, that will develop your closeness with God. And we can give you more instruction on that. I don't want to go into all the details, but there you can fast food to develop your closeness with God. Number two is develop your church relationships. If you want to be a whole-centered person in God, develop your church relationships. Around here, we call that find freedom. We believe that saved people need to be pastored. This is also deliverance. So if you've had struggles or hang-ups in your life, this is the area that you need to work on. We believe that community is important. We have a vertical relationship with God and horizontal relationship with other people to help us go back to God. Small groups are coming up. June 4th, we're going to have what we call Rally Day. We're going to have hopefully 10 small groups out in the lobby for you to sign up, for you to join, to be a part of. And having community with people is so important. And then the second one in that is hang out with Christian friends regularly. Very simple. Just hang out with Christian friends who can sharpen you regularly. They will help you. That relationship will be helpful. Number three today is develop your self-understanding. Some of you are like, why do I need to do that? It's so important that you know how God has wired you, how God has made you, and so that you can have confidence in yourself, not to have arrogance, but to have confidence in who God has made you to be. God has made you to be who you are. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you something that some people aren't able to figure out quickly, but that's part of our life. So go to Growth Track. We'll have Growth Track coming up here soon. That's a process where we will help you discover your purpose. If you've gone through Growth Track and you've been here for a little while, get your spiritual gifts out. Again, if you want help with that, just write number 3 on your connection card, and I can give you your spiritual gifts if you've already taken those. Keep those in front of you. Remind yourself how God has wired you. You won't always remember these things. God wants you to remember who you are. And then I like taking personality assessments. I take them with a grain of salt, but I think it's a fun experience to see how God has wired you. What's God doing inside of you? How has he made you to be in relationship with other people? These are all important things. And then number 4 today is develop your contributions. We call this make a difference. We believe that we were geared to make a difference. That's why we have a dream team. That's why, I mean, in the lobby earlier, we probably have 30 or 40 people in the lobby talking before church even starts to serve you before you even get here. Because we believe that God has made you not just to have gifts and talents, not to just hold them to yourself. What happens when you light a fire under a blanket? It burned the house down. When you light your fire, you need to go out with other people. Don't light them on fire. But you need to have your passions and your purpose out with other people so that you can make a difference in this world. We call this make a difference. We believe that the equipped people should be mobilized for the work of God. You can join the dream team. We call it a dream team because we're not volunteers. You're not volunteering to serve me or my wife. That's not what we're here for. We are a team of people. I am doing my part of the dream team up here and leading the church. That is just a piece of the pie. Without each other, we can't do this. You can join the dream team. You can join our serve team for outreaches in the community. We're reaching out to our community. We have Serve Day coming up in July. You can reach people by being on the dream team or the serve team. And the other part is generosity with tithes and offerings, giving back to the church what God has given you to give back. Offerings are above your tithe and just above your tithe. So I want to tell you just a little bit about my story with changing my friends. I had a few friends in my life who were awesome, and I just wasn't prioritizing them the way that God really wanted me to. And so I started prioritizing those relationships when I was 12 years old. These are people that were light years beyond me spiritually. All of them were younger than me, which kind of hit to the pride a little bit. But I can remember experiencing something when I was a senior in high school. I had a freshman come up to me, and he just looked at me so serious. He was one of my friends, close friends. He just said to me, "Kyle, I pray for you every single day." And I'm telling you, that shook me in that moment, because he's a freshman, and he didn't care. He just came up to me and told me that is what he does for me. You want people in your life that are like that, people who are beyond you spiritually to help pull you along for you to look at. And I have friends here that I look at that way, that I grow because I'm around them. And that is what we need in our lives. We need people that we can be stretched by. I had one friend that we led this ministry together, and he came and led worship. He was an amazing worship leader, and now he's like a doctor of music or something, which is amazing. It's exactly what I thought would happen. But we need people in our life that can just stretch us beyond who we are. But I'm telling you, it's more than just having them in your life. You have to prioritize it. And it's so hard because we have to prioritize our families first, and our friends have to be part of that. We have to get into small groups. We have to be in relationship with people so that God can move in our hearts through other people. And that's exactly what happened in my life. I can remember I was about 12 when I decided to change my group of friends, but all through high school, I actually worked through my faith. I was already a Christian when I was hanging around these kids that were getting me into trouble, but I was developing that closeness with God. I was looking at, I mean, these are like 13, 14-year-olds that were studying scripture, having small groups, talking about it, and I had never seen anything like it. And I wanted that in my life. And I believe that that's the point where God started to work in me and make a calling in my life to do ministry because of those friends. So closeness with my new friends produced life for me. And I believe that the life that I have now, the experiences I've had, were because God finally got a hold of me and he changed me and moved me into the life that he wanted me to have with the friends that I had growing up. Would you guys stand with me? Father, I want to thank you so much for these people here today. I want you to move in their life, Lord. Would you help each one of them to grow and to experience you in a new way? I ask that as you're speaking them today, God, that they would open up their hearts and be ready for whatever it is that you're wanting to do in their life, Lord. Whether they have difficult decisions to make this week, to move on to new friends, or if they need to add some new habits in their life, I ask that you would give them first the inspiration to do it, but the ability to do it, God, that you would just slow things down for them in life. Slow it all down. Slow their minds down, God. Slow my mind down so that I can process you, so that I can think about you. And God, I ask that you would fill them up with your spirit, that they would see the gifts that you've given them, that they would experience what it is that you want them to experience today and this week, God. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus and you're ready to make that move, you're ready to move into a new direction with God, and that's what you want to do, you're ready to take this journey and move, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that today. As everyone has their heads down and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to pray. So on three, just raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you made that decision today, and I saw that hand. If you made that decision today and you are ready to do that, would you just pray after me and everyone else join me too? Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all that I am. Would you take me and be my Lord? Would you take my sin? Would you take my pain? Would you take all of me and make me brand new in your name? Amen. Would you guys celebrate with those who gave their life to Jesus today? We're so proud of you, and we're so excited for you. If you did that today, would you fill out your connection card and let me know? I would love to be praying for you, get some tools in your hands. And if you did come ready today to give financially with a tithe or an offering, would you do that in the black box on your way out? You can also put your connection card in there if you put one of the four numbers on there. Make sure your name is on there so I can contact you and give you some more resources. Right now, we're going to continue our service by worshiping God, and then we're going to have some ice cream in just a moment.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness. this life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so
bad times, God, you are good. I will declare that today. God, you are good. And Lord, I pray that to my dying breath, I can sing that over and over, that you are good no matter what I'm walking through, Lord. And I just pray over everybody in here, God, no matter what they're walking through, God, they would see you, they would feel your presence, Lord. That I just pray peace over them as they go about their week, Lord. God, you are good. And I pray that we continue to see that. In your name, amen. As we go, we're going to continue a little bit of time of worship, but I just want to encourage you guys, if you have children, if you could go through the checkout process, get your children. You're more than welcome to bring them back in here and continue a time of worship with us. If you're ready to kind of move out of a time of worship, please make sure you get some ice cream, socialize, meet some people maybe that you've not met before, form some connections, because as a church, we are family, and this is a time for family to connect and spend time with each other.